All right, tonight I'm gonna start off with a familiar verse, because tonight we're talking about summer love. Man, I mean, you're going to the beach, you know, graduation, summer, you got all this time on your hands. I mean, I'm telling you, man, sometimes it just seems like right after spring, some of you guys, you graduate, some of you guys going to new grades, new schools. It's just like a whole new world, man. And, you know, and when you really look at it, even with me in my life, that is where my love story started, is in the summer months, you know? And in 1 Corinthians 13, familiar verse, we all know it. Maybe some of you guys can even quote it verbatim. But it says this. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, it thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It says love, in verse 8, it says love never fails. See, that's God's picture of love. And see, a lot of times we can get confused by what the media, by what music, by what magazines, by what your friends, by even what our parents tell us love is. And it's interesting, because I think like that's like got to be the thing that makes the most money in the entire world, love. I mean, every stinking song in the world is either about the love you want, the love that's in the club, the love that you miss, the love that you used to have, the love, I don't know, you know, when a man loves a woman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. Making money. Love songs. Every TV show out there, I swear, if it doesn't start off about love, it ends up about love. And it's true. It does. I mean, you can have the most inane, the most, that's a good word. You can have the most pointless show, and then sooner or later, they're going to throw a love story in there. It's just what they do. It's like the dumbest show in the entire world, you know? It's just bizarre. And it all ends up around love, because the world is looking for love. The world's looking for love. You, sooner or later, if you're not right now, unless you still think they got cooties, you are looking for love. And if you're not now, you will be one day. The problem is this, is that the world doesn't know what love is. You know, God describes in these three verses, he describes what love is and what love isn't. And we live in a world that doesn't define love this way. You know, if you've been at this church for any matter of time, talked about it last week, we don't really want to go over it too much right now, but love is simply a godly kind of love. The love that you need to look for, the love that you need to give is this. It's personal self-sacrifice. It's love that gives of yourself for the betterment of somebody else. You see, God describes love, and God describes lust. See, love gives and lust takes. Now, like I mentioned, right around 10 years ago, I started my love story. And it's with this lovely lady here in the front row, my woman, Pastor Michelle, my baby girl, my boo, my shouty, my woman, my lady. I don't know what other words too. My boo. That's my baby mama. That is, but except we're married too, though. So that's more than my, anyway. We don't got no baby mama drama. Anyway, so my story started much longer than 10 years ago. As a matter of fact, it started one day with a boy. A boy was born named Richard Dean Villanueva. See, I told you, I was blonde too. My kids are mine, okay? We didn't steal them. But it started many, many years ago with a young man named Richard Dean Villanueva, born to a secretary and a prison guard. Richard Dean grew up, and in another city named Riverside, there was a young lady born named Michelle Nicole Sandell. And this young lady, she was destined to one day meet this boy. And eventually they grew up, and they became friends one day at church, and yes, they met each other in youth ministry here in Loma Linda. They grew up, they became friends, and they had a blossoming friendship that lasted some three, four years. I got to know her family, and we grew this healthy, fun relationship where we chased each other in cars and try not to get in car accidents, and we'd have bonfires and s'mores and hot dogs and worship, and it was just absolutely wonderful. So much so that one day I decided to date her. I decided to go out with her, and we began to know each other. Oh, that's right. There she is. That's right when I started dating her. She looks wonderful. She's not smiling because she had braces back then. So She had braces. I know, hon. I'm sorry. And eventually we got to know each other so well that we began to date. Give me the next picture here, okay? Let me see. What's the next? Oh, that's right. And when you look at a woman like that, you just think, I got to get a babe like that in my life. So I did. I decided to date her. Bam, next one. Oh, and I married her. See, that's right. That was the day we got married. And yeah, that's right. I used to look like that. And that was almost 10 years ago. I asked her to marry me at one of our youth services, and I snuck her family in the back, and they hid behind our foosball table and stuff like that. Her sister Leah was taking pictures of everything, which I don't have any of right now. But she was like doing ninja moves. She was like doing cartwheels in the front row and I surprised her, and I got down on one knee and I asked her to marry me. Of course, after I asked her dad, that's important. I asked her dad first. I had a whole like 10-year plan and stuff like that. It's really funny. And of course, I bought them ice cream. I bought them ice cream. They didn't buy me ice cream. And her dad said yes, and I decided to marry her. And it's kind of funny because we had been friends for about 3 or 4 years beforehand, and then I asked her to date me because we were part of an internship. You know the picture with her. We had graduated Bible college together. We sat next to each other in the front row. And eventually I asked her to go out with me. That was pretty awesome. And it was really awesome when she said yes to me, and we got married. And then after that, first came the girl, my daughter. That's right. Girl after my own heart. Now that's not coffee. Just so you know, I'm not a bad father. That is hot chocolate. Okay, and then you know, about 5 years into it, you know, we had our first kid, our daughter, and then of course 2 years after that came the boy. That's right. That's cute. You gotta admit, that's pretty cute. And from that point on, we were a family. We had become a family together. I know. He's not pooping, don't worry. You know, from that point on, that was 10 years ago. And that's that. And then here we are today in our relationship, me and my beautiful wife, Michelle. And that's my love story. It all started the summer I graduated from Bible college when I asked her out to marry me. And we began to date and stuff like that. And we had been in youth ministry for years and years and years, and we had seen things, and we had learned some things. And it's really kind of cute in these pictures because I showed you all the good parts and the happy parts, you know. Don't get me wrong here. But in every relationship, there's ups and there's downs, there's arguments and there's fights and stuff like that. And see, here's the thing: is we live in a world, and I know at least half of you in this room know this, but we live in a room in a world that doesn't always have happy endings when it comes to relationships and marriages. Whether you live in a single family household, whether you live with maybe a grandmother or an aunt or an uncle, maybe you don't even live at home with your family. Maybe you're in a different living situation. And the truth is that we don't always see stories end like maybe mine and my wife's. And you know, our story is not over at the very least, because I plan on celebrating 50 years with this woman in my future. And even more than that, should the Lord let me live long enough. You know what I'm saying? And I know that my marriage is not going to end in divorce, because I've made a decision that divorce is a word that doesn't belong in my vocabulary. And you see, when you know what godly kind of love is, then that becomes part of your story. And I don't know about you, but I'm in this to win this. I ain't sharing half my money with no woman, because I plan on sharing my whole life with her. I am only having one marriage in my life. I'm out this to do this thing right. And I don't know if you feel that same way, but the only way you're going to get that is if you do it God's way. You see, and I start this way, you know, and I start this way, and I'm so confident because I know that the Bible says love never fails. Now look at this. The love that this world defines will fail. It will. I guarantee you it will fail one day. If you've ever been through a breakup, you know what I'm talking about. Look, the way that love is defined in music and in movies and in sitcoms and in pop culture, it will fail because it's not true love. But 1 Corinthians talks about what real love is. You see, God has a standard. God has a standard for what love is and what love isn't. I'm going to tell you, whether you're a guy or whether you're a girl, or whether you're single or whether you're together, or whether one day you plan to be together with somebody, you need to find out what God's standard is. Because I'll tell you this, if you set a standard in your life, anybody that doesn't meet that standard will never break your heart. See, you need to set the bar high. Because if you set it low, you're going to get a lot of bottom feeders. You're going to get a lot of garbage, and you're going to get a lot of trash coming your way. Not that these guys or girls are trash, but I'm saying the way that the love that they're giving is garbage. They're very valuable, and they're wonderful people. I bet they are. But the love that they'll give you isn't real love. So you need to know what to look for. Because if you don't know what to look for, you'll take anything. I remember my first relationship I ever had. The reason I got in that relationship was because I thought, gosh, I'm in junior high. Maybe I should have a girlfriend by now, and she likes me. That was the reason I dated her. Because I thought, I think I need a girlfriend now. That was my standard. This girl likes me. Let's do this. You know what I'm saying? And that was my standard. Nobody had taught me. Nobody had taught me the standard. And because of that, I made mistakes in my life that affected my marriage. And I don't know what standard you have. Some of our standards have to do with numbers. You know what I'm saying? Some of our standards have to do, it's true. Some of our standards have to do with looks and appearance, money. They have to do with grades. They have to do with what city they're from. But see, those standards don't matter. You need a standard of what true love is. And if you find that, you'll be good. In 1 Corinthians 6:13, if you haven't put it up there, 1 Corinthians 6:13 says something really interesting. 1 Corinthians 6:13, the Bible says this. It says, food's for the stomach and stomach for the foods. That sounds about right, right? That sounds like what it's supposed to be. But then it turns around and says this. It says, food's for the stomach, stomach for the foods, but God will destroy them both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. If you go back to the verse before, it says something interesting. It says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I won't be brought under the power of any. Then it says, food's for the stomach, stomach for the foods. See, back in the day, this was a saying that they had. Back in the day, what they would say is, hey, food's for the stomach, so I'm going to eat food. And basically what they were saying is, if I want it, I'm going to get it. It was an animal mentality. If I got a scratch, I better itch it. If I feel, a little turned on, I better find somebody to, And that was the saying. They said, food's for the stomach, so if I want it, I better get it. And that's the world we live in today. If I want it, I got to go get it. You know, I don't know if I'll be alive tonight, so while I'm here, I better, hook up with this girl, this guy. I mean, look, guys, that's the world we live in right now. Food for the stomach. But the Bible says that, look, your body wasn't designed for sexual immorality. You know, it's funny because God designed sex. Sex isn't bad. Intimacy, relationships, all that kind of stuff. It's not bad, it's not dirty, it's not nasty, but it's misused all the time. And anything that's misused, at best, it doesn't work right. At worst, it'll kill you. It's true. If you misuse a kitchen appliance, it just will break, at best. If you misuse a kitchen appliance, at worst, it'll blow up and kill you and burn your house down, okay? Your best bet is that it breaks. It doesn't hurt anybody. You know, sex and relationship and intimacy is the same way. If you do this your way, at the very best, it's just not going to work. At the worst, it'll kill you. And it's true. I mean, right now, statistics will tell you, by the time you're 25, if you're in a room, a quarter of those people will have a sexually transmitted disease. By the time you turn 25, one out of every four people would have a disease that will never be healed because of premarital sex, because of multiple partners, because of all that kind of stuff. That's the world we live in, guys. And that kind of makes it tough when you're looking for a spouse. You know what I'm saying? There's a good chance that you can end up with someone that maybe has some type of disease that you and them will have to learn and live and cope with. I mean, that's pretty crazy. That's bizarre. I mean, the Bible says that your body was not designed for sexual immorality. You know, it's funny because if you look at it, sex and dating and relationships, stuff like that. God designed it to start families. That's like permanent. God designed it. Now, of course, there's contraception and birth control, all that kind of stuff. Now things are a little bit different. But at the very design, sex was meant to be a permanent thing between a man and a woman. But because you and I in this world, because this world mistreats it and abuses it, now all of a sudden we have broken families and we have women raising children alone. God, and I think the bravest person in the world has got to be a single mother. The bravest, strongest person in the world, and the world today, has got to be a single mother to be able to do that on their own. I mean, if you live in a household with a single mom, your mom is a superhero. You know, even though maybe she may make mistakes, she may not be best, but you need to realize your mom is a superhero to do these things on her own. And I'm not out to demean anybody by that. But that's not the best God designed. You see, God designed the best to be a family that grows. And God's best for you is to have an intimate relationship with a person inside of a married relationship. Now, Pastor Richard, what are you talking about? Because this is kind of bizarre. This is kind of strange. I think you're old school. I think that's old. You know, times have changed. You know, the Bible's old, and that's an old standard, and we're 2,000 years later, so are you? No. Listen to me here. If we had that standard that God has, I'd say half to two-thirds of all the problems that we have in relationships wouldn't be here today. That statistic, one out of every four, that wouldn't be an issue. In 20 years, that number would be completely different if we do this God's way. Single mothers, broken families, completely different if we do things God's way. I mean, you know, look, you can call it old-fashioned, but sometimes things are old-fashioned because they worked. And sometimes the newest thing is a knockoff and a cheap imitation of the way things are supposed to be. I know that. I've been down that road, guys. It doesn't work. God's best, the best way is God's way. And I'm going to tell you this. You can use a knife to take out a screw. You know what I'm saying? You can use a knife to take out a screw, and it'll work. Eventually, it'll break. Because that's not what it's designed for. You'll bend it, you'll tweak it, you'll chip it. I know it. I did it the other day. Actually, I did it with one of my wife's utensils, and man, she was mad at me. And that's what happens. It can work, but it won't work for long. A screwdriver was meant to take out screws. Screws were designed to be put in and put out by screwdrivers. Sex was designed for a married relationship. One couple for a lifetime. And you could do it your way, and it could work for a little bit, and it could feel good, and it can bring you closer to a person, and you can show a person, you know, whatever, all this kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you this, it may work today, it may work tomorrow, it may even work for a month, a week, a year, but eventually it's going to break. It's going to break because it was never designed to be used that way. And in the end, you'll be hurt, and the person and the people you've been with will be hurt, and maybe even the children in the wake will be hurt, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Look, God's best way is respect. Respect. Look, ladies, don't you want a man to respect you? I mean, seriously, open a door maybe, call you nice things. Don't you want him to be able to take care of you? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, gentlemen, wouldn't you like a woman to respect you? I want my wife to respect me. I want her to look at me every day and see a superhero. That's what I'm talking about. I want a cape for my birthday. You know what I'm saying? I want to be my wife's superhero. I want to be her man. I want to be the one to kill the spiders in that household, okay? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, when she needs help, she better be calling my name. All right? All right? I mean, my name better be before 911. Because you know I'm going to handle it. God's best is respect. And if you don't see yourself as worthy of respect, then you're not going to get it. If you see yourself as less than valuable, you're not going to get it. You see, God designed you and your body and your emotions and your heart to be a gift, not a doorknob. A gift you give to one person, especially if it's a valuable gift, they'll keep it and they'll hold it and they'll treasure it, right? Right? I mean, if somebody gives you a gift, that's for you. That's got your name on it and it goes to one person. A doorknob, everybody get turned on that one. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. So what do you want to be? Do you want to be a prize? Do you want to be a gift? Do you want to be something valuable and special? Or do you want to be public property? And look, I'm being a little blunt here because this is what's at stake, is your future, is your children. Look, see, the Bible says that your body doesn't belong to you. Your body belongs to God. So gentlemen, if you have your hands on a girl's body, you are taking what belongs to God. Women, if you're mistreating yourself and you're putting yourself on display in a way that you shouldn't be, you are devaluing God's property. And the same thing if you're putting your hands on a guy. No, that guy doesn't belong to you. He belongs to God. And then the next step goes this. The Bible says that when you get married, the wife's body belongs to the man. The man's body belongs to the wife. So let me tell you this. If gentlemen, women in this room, if you take things to a level sexually with a person, you become a thief because you're taking another man's woman. You're taking another woman's man. And more than that, you're taking what belongs to God. See, I was in a relationship where I thought I was going to marry her. We were together for years. I was telling my teachers, I was telling my friends, oh, I'm going to marry her out of high school. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I was so stupid. And we got involved in things. And you know what? I made a lot of mistakes. And in the end, I married a different woman. And the mistakes I made, you know, we had to work through them. We had to make changes. And I had to repent before God because I made some mistakes. Because I gave away what didn't even belong to me. I gave away things that didn't even belong to me, but they belonged to God. They belonged to another woman. Thank God for his healing. Thank God for his restoration. But I'm going to tell you in this place, don't allow yourself to become public property. Have a respect for yourself. The body was not made for sexual immorality. It was made for holiness and purity. I mean, so what does that mean? That means if you're in a dating relationship, if you have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, then you know what? That means you're not going to cheat on them. That means you're not going to flirt with other girls behind your girlfriend's back. That means you're not going to flirt with other guys behind your guy's back. I mean, that's respect. That's basic respect. Look, I mean, and that's godly. You won't hurt their reputation by slandering and talking smack about them. That means when you break up with somebody, you're not going to demean them. You're not going to forward pictures that you shouldn't be having anyway to people. It means this. If you have respect, if you want to do this God's way in a relationship, in a breakup, look, you're not going to play the let's just be friends game. And be together, but not really be together. Look, guys, this is respect. This is what love means. Love does not rejoice in evil. Love is not puffed up. Love is not about me. It's about the other person. It means that we're going to do things right. And if it doesn't work out and we have differences, we're just going to cut it clean. And we're going to leave each other be. Look, breakups don't have to be ugly. Look, a breakup will always be painful, but it doesn't got to be ugly. And same thing when it comes to sex. Sex was intended for marriage. If you have respect for yourself, if you have respect for your future, if you have respect for that person you're with, you will keep the physical lines between you and them cut, clear, and clean. You respect each other's body because it doesn't belong to you. Look, bottom line here, guys. Look, the bottom line is this. Is that if what you are going to do with somebody has the word sex anywhere in it, then you shouldn't be doing it. I it's true. I mean, and I'm not teaching nobody no new vocabulary in here. All right, but if the description of what you and somebody would do would have the word sex anywhere in that phrase, I mean, it's off limits. God said it off limits because those feelings and emotions were designed for a man and a woman in a married relationship, and even more than that too. If you want to stay safe, you want to keep things safe. I generally apply the bathing suit rule. If a bathing suit covers it, you should not be touching it. That's how you know you're safe. You stay safe this way, all right? Although some of these bathing suits down these days, I don't know. Shoot. Maybe, I don't know, man. But that's a different story altogether. See, here's how it boils down. Bible says Proverbs 29:18. Put it up there. Proverbs 28:19. We're going to start wrapping this thing up because I want to take some Q&A up in a minute here. It says, the Bible says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. Happy is he who keeps the law. You know, maybe your translation says, where there's no vision, the people perish. It's all about what do you see yourself, where you see yourself going. Do you see yourself married? Pastor Richard, I don't know. You're talking some big words here. All right. Well, then let's talk here real quick because it's all about where you see what are your intentions with this relationship? I mean, look, have any of you guys ever asked a girl's dad if you could date her? All right. Thank you. Some of you guys are like, yeah, right. Yeah, it's because you know you get shot. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, look, just so you know, I have a daughter, and I will soon have a gun, okay? If someone want to get near and breathe the same air that my daughter has, call me old-fashioned, but I don't care. I want some boy to come talk to me like a man before he even touches her hand. All right? Thank you. Because if he doesn't have the guts and the bravery to talk to me, I don't know if he has the guts to respect her. Now, if you're in a relationship right now and you did not ask her father, I am not trying to demean or make you feel bad. I'm just trying to say, maybe you should have a conversation, okay? Might do you some good. Because gentlemen, let me tell you this. Gentlemen, can I tell you how to treat your girl right? Is if you want to take her on dates and you want to spend more time with your girlfriend, you need to be friends with her parents. Because if they like you, they will let you around her. If they don't like you, you are fighting an uphill battle, my friend, and you will not see her very often, and you will probably fight a lot more. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, so gentlemen, be good with her dad and be good with her mama. And if she don't got a dad or a mama, a grandmama, an aunt, or her youth pastor, whoever the man is in her life, I'd suggest you talk to that person, and you do yourself a lot of good, okay? Because if he likes you, that you will do okay in that relationship, okay? And you've got to. You've got to know. And see, the first question I'm going to ask when a boy wants to come and talk to my daughter is, what are your intentions? Now, if you don't plan on marrying her, well, that tells me what speed you're going to be going. Let me tell you this. If you got to get to San Diego in 60 minutes, you're going to be going 90 miles an hour and hoping the cops don't see you, okay? If you want to get to San Diego from here in an hour and a half, all right, you go 60 miles an hour. You can obey the speed limit. You can make it there, no traffic. If you want to get to San Diego, if you have to be in San Diego in 3 hours, well, then you can take side roads, okay? or you have to go like 30 miles an hour. You have to go really slow to San Diego. Or you'll leave in an hour and a half. That way you get there on time. You know what I'm saying? Those are your intentions. Now, let me ask you this. If you're not planning on getting married anytime soon, in the next year or two, ninth graders, then why are you going as fast as you are in this relationship? How come you're spending 6 hours a day with each other? How come, sir, you don't hang out with the boys no more? Ladies, you don't hang out with other girls anymore? Because you're taking this pretty quick. You're going 90 miles an hour. Do you plan on getting to San Diego in 60 minutes? Because I'm going to tell you this, going that speed, you will find yourself there early. What are your intentions? Because your intentions will determine how fast your relationship goes. Some of you in this place need to slow down a little bit because you've got 3 hours. You don't even have to leave yet. Grab a hamburger. Make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Slow down because you've got a little bit of time. Just be friends. Why? Now, this is bizarre. Why do you need to have a girlfriend right now? Because, gentlemen, let me tell you, if you've had a girlfriend in here, gentlemen, I will tell you this, and I believe you can say amen to this. A girlfriend will give you problems, and she will cost you a lot of money, okay? Ladies, I'm just telling you, you're expensive. Valentine's Day, teddy bears, birthdays, your 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, 3 hour anniversary. I'm gonna tell you, you ladies are expensive. And rightfully so. Aren't you worth every penny, ladies?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you deserve beautiful things? Ladies, don't you deserve necklaces and diamonds? Don't you deserve your hair done? Don't you deserve him to get you a pedicure every once in a while? Come on, somebody, I'm preaching now. Because you deserve it. Oh, independent, schmindependent. You could be independent and still be pampered, right? Independent doesn't mean he don't got to spend money on you. Shoot. Especially if you want to have a long marriage. Look, you got time. Look, a lot of the things you're looking for anyway, ladies and gentlemen, can be had in a friendship. Because once it gets physical, it gets crazy. Once it gets physical, it gets weird. And a lot of times, let me tell you this, when it gets physical, everything else goes out the window, and it's all about that.
Been there, done that.
It seems like that's all it's about. So what are you in a rush for? You got time. Slow down. Wait a minute. Put a little Jesus in it. All right? What are your intentions in this? You know, the Bible says, it said, where people lack vision, they cast off restraint. All the standards, that's restraint means, all the boundaries that you had go out the window because you don't see yourself in the future. Look, if you know you're not going to marry her, gentlemen, then why are you going to treat her like that? That's not your wifey. That's not your hubbend. Look, that's not what it is, guys. So don't treat it like that. What are your intentions? You know, and I love what it says with Jesus and Luke. He said, count the cost. If you know you're just going to, it's a casual relationship, then don't treat it serious. Don't tell her, I love you. Ladies, if he tells you, I love you, tell him, shut up. Don't say that unless you mean it. And if you mean it, I want to see a ring. Pace yourself. Whoa, boy, whoa. Pace yourself, all right? Song of Solomon, which is a crazy book, by the way. Song of Solomon 8, verse 4 says this. I love this verse. If you've been here for any matter of years, I've said it every year, and I'll say it every year. It says in Song of Solomon 8, 4, give it to me real quick because we're going to wrap this thing up. I'm talking too much. It says, I charge you daughters, and I can even say sons of Jerusalem. Do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Do not stir up or awaken love too soon. Because once you awaken it, once you go there, it's difficult to turn it off. It's difficult to go back. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all things. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Because your heart, look, ladies, sometimes we give our heart away to people too soon. Don't, ladies, you be stingy with your heart. I'm going to tell you, don't you give your heart to any man. Don't fall head over heels over some guy just because he's cute and his eyebrows are clean. Because he has some six-pack when the shadows hit it just right. Look, ladies, you keep your heart. That word keep means guard. Gentlemen, I would even say you too. Because I'm going to tell you, some of us men up in this place, you're just looking for love. Brother need love too. Sometimes a man needs a little bit of cuddling. I know that. But hold up, wait a minute. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. Because when you start giving it away, what happens is it gets torn up. And the next person you give your heart to, it's broken. Of course, unless Jesus can heal it, which he can and will. What he did with me, took a broken heart and made it whole. But you got to keep it. Because remember, your heart is a gift to be given. It's not public property. So stop treating it like that. If you need to, ladies, build a castle around it. But don't lock the door. Just make sure you give the key to the right person. Because that'll preach. You see, your heart and your body was not made for sexual immorality. I'm going to tell you this. Your body was not made for sexual immorality. And your heart was not meant to be public property. So treat it valuably and don't give yourself away. And if you have, hey, if you have already, change. That's it, change. That's all you got to do. If you've already done it, hey, doesn't mean you're this word or that word or this word. Doesn't mean you have to buy other people's labels. Just change. Just don't do it again. And take it to Jesus. And God himself will heal your heart and make you new. That's all you got to do. Take it to him. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4 through 6. If somebody says, I love you, and they're not doing any of those things, then you can tell them to shut up. Tell him or her, shut up. And don't you dare tell me that until you mean it. Don't call me old-fashioned. And if you do, well, maybe it needs to be the new style. Because I'm going to tell you, Jersey Shore and every show in the world, just it seems like they're getting it wrong. And we've got to raise the standard. Because if you don't set the standard for your life and your body and your heart, I'll tell you, somebody else will. And they'll set it right at the standard. They'll set it right at the standard where they can get what they want. So you set that standard high. If you guys got something for God, let's give him praise.